After Dark, My Sweet is a new movie adapted from a Jim Thompson novel. Thompson's crime novels about sociopaths were virtually ignored when they were published in the 50s and 60s, but there was a revival of the late writer's novels in the 80s. After Dark, My Sweet was directed by my guest James Foley. He also directed At Close Range, starring Christopher Walken and Sean Penn. After Dark, My Sweet stars Jason Patrick as Kali, a sympathetic but volatile former boxer and ex-mental patient. Kali drifts into a desert town, where he meets up with Faye, played by Rachel Ward, and Uncle Bud, played by Bruce Dern. They involve him in a far-fetched kidnapping scheme. He intentionally bungles the plan because he thinks he's being set up.
What's the matter? I didn't surprise you, did I?
Surprises? Oh, Kali, why in the world did you do it?
Why not? It's what we planned on. It was what I was supposed to do, right?
Yeah, but not this way. Not after you made a mistake and...
I gotta hand it to you, kid. I don't know another guy in this country pulls a stunt like that and gets away with it.
Oh, Uncle Bud, sure there is. All you gotta do is pick yourself a guy who's a little bit off and throw him a curve. You do it.
I know exactly what you mean. You hold the short end of that old stick just so long, and then you're gonna want to start swinging it.
Shut up.
What?
I said shut up.
Tell me why you wanted to make a movie out of this particular Jim Thompson novel.
It wasn't so much this particular Thompson novel over any other. It's simply a matter of reading scripts for 2 years since my last movie, and this was the first one that seemed intriguing enough to make me want to sell my soul to do it.
Is that what it takes, selling your soul?
Yeah, if you've still got one left after 2 years of looking for something. I mean, I find the whole process of reading scripts the most debilitating sort of thing because... most scripts are bad, and the process of reading them is like watching television. Instead of filling you up, it seems to suck life out of you. And this script I read, and it, you know, seemed to fill me up, so I thought that would be the one.
Well, you have a co-writer credit for the screenplay. What does that mean?
The original guy, Robert Redlin, who's also listed as a producer, he purchased the rights some years ago and wrote, made a pass at his own adaptation, which is the script that I read. And it was pretty much the same story as the book, but it had been kind of bastardized in an okay sense of that word, in meaning that he had sort of drifted away from Thompson's particular voice and gave it a more modern voice. And so I was intrigued by the characters in the story in that script, and it was only when I read the book did I realize what the real poetry of it was. And so I discarded that original script and went back to the book and became much more faithful to the voice of the book.
This is one of those film noir type films that's actually shot in the sunshine, so things are more bleached out than noir. How did that affect the kind of atmosphere and mood that you were creating?
Well, you know, the whole thing sort of started not from sort of wanting a style that was bleached out and sunlit, but really picking a location. And the book is set not in the desert, but it's set in sort of any town, USA. It's not the desert because he describes green things and stuff, but in choosing a location, I just felt as if I wanted a place that was removed from the mainstream, something where there weren't points of reference to a particular city, and there were no points of reference to modern-day pop culture things, so that you never hear a song out of the radio, you never see a McDonald's. It's kind of at once present tense, but also timeless. And the California desert seemed to, when I had been out there, really fill the bill in that regard, that it was a place full of contradictions that if you were a person who's of modest means, the desert becomes a very harsh environment and you have to struggle to stay alive there. However, they've also turned the California desert, rich people have turned the desert incongruously into golf courses. And that seemed to be really consistent with the world of the novel.
Bruce Dern, you have him cast as this kind of wacky character in this. Well, you can describe his character and tell me how you cast him.
He's a real desert rat fringe guy who I actually have affection for his character, no matter how devious and murderous and treacherous he is, because he's somebody who I feel is a survivor, who sort of has been, like I was mentioning before, the landscape of the desert is a harsh place that reminds me of, like, those animals who have to forage around for water in the desert, and they suck it out of, you know, little bits of cactus and stuff. And the Bruce Dern character is like that. Bruce Dern was someone who, frankly, was not my first choice. Someone mentioned Bruce Dern, and I, you know, wasn't overly enthusiastic. And then we saw lots of other people. Nobody was filling the bill, and Bruce came in, and he walked in the door and sat down and started talking to me, and all of a sudden I realized this was the guy I had been searching for. But it was a lesson to me, because there's so much, when you're in Hollywood, there's so many sort of preconceptions, and you realize that even though you'd like to think otherwise, you are very affected by people's heat and lack of heat, and who's cool and who's, you know, who's in and who's out. And you know, Bruce Dern was just, you know, was kind of on the out list probably. And then he sat there, and I realized this is a great American actor. He's perfect for the part. And now, in retrospect, I feel kind of ashamed that I didn't sort of wasn't smart enough to realize that in the first place.
Well, do producers ever give you a hard time when you choose to cast someone who's on the out list?
not in this case, not. Certainly not in Bruce's case. The producers were more than happy to have him. But I think in general, you know, all three of those guys, Jason and Rachel and Bruce, at the time we were making it, none of them were, you know, the top of anyone's list of, okay, we got to make a movie with this person. They all had different pockets of respect. And by the way, I'll throw myself in there too. I'm certainly, you know, was not on the top of anyone's list. We got to get Foley, although this company did. So there's always, like, no matter how sort of out you are, you're in somewhere, in some sort of weird pocket of Hollywood. You know, after my last film, Who's That Girl, was a sort of infamous flop. It's sort of like once you get beaten up like that, you're kind of liberated to having to sustain anything. So once you get counted out, you're free to come back, so to speak, and free to surprise people. Oh, look, you know, he really can direct a movie. So I think there was a great sense in four different careers, you know, Jason's and Rachel's and Bruce's and mine, all were due for a kind of resurrection.
If you don't mind my saying so, all of your previous films have really been flops at the box office. And I'm wondering, you know, how you managed to get work. I mean, don't take that the wrong way, but, you know, like so often I think you get a job based on, like, your success rate at the box office. And you haven't had a great, like, success rate in terms of money.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, right.
This is actually something that I feel very good about and have sort of pride in, and it's kind of the human face of Hollywood, that with my films, particularly At Close Range, there were a good many people who really thought it was a very good film, and who, and I got, you know, some really strong reviews for that. And interestingly enough, in Hollywood, even if you don't make money, if you don't lose a lot of money and you get some good reviews and you have respect of individual people, then you're considered a filmmaker, a feature film director. And it's, interestingly enough, a very small club. And so when it comes around to making a film, like After Dark, the guys at that company, Avenue, had seen At Close Range, really respected it, and felt as if I was a talented filmmaker, and you know, sort of disregarded the box office numbers.
I really like At Close Range very much. I had to rent it on video to see it. I had been waiting for it to come to my city, and if it came, it came for, you know, like the amount of time it takes to snap your fingers. I mean, if it came at all, it was gone in a jiffy. How do films end up not coming around?
Yeah.
What happens to them?
It's a source of, this is a real sore spot with me, because interestingly enough, only now that I've gone around with After Dark doing interviews and meeting journalists from different cities have I really found out what went on or didn't go on with At Close Range. That was a classic case of there was incredible friction between the company who financed the movie and the company who was supposed to be distributing the movie, and they had a kind of unholy alliance where they both had to agree on every move to make. And it's hard enough if one company is handling something for anyone to come to a decision about what to do. But in this case, it became just sort of chaotic, and it ultimately self-destructed. And so it really was a corporate sort of, we got lost in a corporate mishmash. Now, the point is that the movie was a particular kind of movie that was, a tough sell to begin with. So under the best of circumstances, it never would have really been wide. But the problem is it wound up, because of corporate shenanigans in the worst of circumstances, and you know, really has been seen more on, as you say, cassette and cable than it ever was in the theaters. And that, it breaks my heart, I must say. I mean, one guy I talked to from some city said that he, at the end of the year, he wanted to, you know, he put the film on his 10 best of the year list, and he called the distributor to ask for a photograph of the actors in the movie, and he was brushed off and told, we don't have any more of that stuff, goodbye, and, you know, hung up on. I mean, that kind of stuff sort of makes you want to weep.
Do you have another movie in the works?
I don't, which is my tragic flaw. I'm just a kind of, it's sort of like when I'm talking on the telephone and somebody's trying to talk to me in the room I'm talking in, I can't listen to them. I can't hear what they're saying. And it's the same thing with movies. If I'm making one movie, I just can never seem to be able to focus on anything else. And so all of a sudden the movie's finished, it's out, and I'm standing there with nothing to do. Now there's tons of scripts I can read. But as I say, you know, the scripts are bad, and there's a couple of things that are kind of vaguely distant, but nothing that, as I say, I'm ready to sell my soul again for.
Well, James Foley, thanks very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
James Foley is the director of the new film After Dark, My Sweet.